Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 6th day of May 2019. And I'm thrilled to have joining us for the very first time today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Terry L. Johnson, who is an author, conference speaker, and senior minister of Independent Presbyterian Church of Savannah, Georgia. He's actually going to be on twice this week. He's going to be discussing today his book, The Case for Traditional Protestantism. And then we have another subject coming up on Wednesday that we will have Terry explain for you in just a bit on the attributes of God. We're also going to be promoting a conference coming up very soon where Terry is going to be on the roster of speakers, the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth, right here in Pennsylvania at the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And I will be there, God willing, in attendance. So I'm looking forward to meeting many of you for the first time and becoming reacquainted with many of you that I've already met in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners audience. But it is my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Terry L. Johnson.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be a part of the broadcast.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you a part of the broadcast. And I know the folks at Banner of Truth are a very discerning lot, very finicky, and rightfully so. So I know that you will be a guest today and also a speaker that is well worth hearing when you are going to be speaking at the upcoming East Coast Ministers Conference in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. But before we go into the subject at hand, the case for traditional Protestantism, and also before we go into a little bit of an explanation on the East Coast Ministers Conference, tell us something about the Independent Presbyterian Church of Savannah, Georgia. The name was a very unusual name because it sounds somewhat oxymoronic, Independent Presbyterian. So tell us something about that.
Well, you're right. It is oxymoronic. To be a Presbyterian means that you are not independent.
Right.
Under normal circumstances, there would be a presbytery to which the church would be connected and accountable. But this congregation was the first Presbyterian church in Georgia. Its foundation goes back to prior to 1755, and there was no presbytery at the time. And so it remained independent until there was some impetus to start a presbytery, which came in the 1820s. And you know how things go in church life. Once they had been on their own for about 70 years, there was some resistance to yielding up any of their own control of their own congregation to anyone else. And then also, your listeners may be aware that there was quite a bit of exchange between Congregationalists and Presbyterians. Going back to those days, there was even a plan of union where they cooperated with each other in the evangelizing and church planning in the Western territories. And they were agreeable to do that because there was so much in common. There was hardly a shade of difference between New England Congregationalism and Presbyterianism. And so they worked together, and so there were ministers that moved from congregational churches to Presbyterian churches back and forth. Jonathan Edwards is an example of this. He, you know, after he graduated from Yale, he served a Presbyterian church in New York and then was called to Northampton to his grandfather's congregational church. And I think that was fairly common back then. And so when there was some opportunity to then participate with the Presbytery, you know, just one of the accidents of history was that they had the church had congregational or congregationally inclined ministers at the time who didn't have an interest. So it's independent but Presbyterian.
Well, I want to let our listeners know, and hopefully I'll remember to repeat this later on, but if you live in the Savannah, Georgia area, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, or if you're visiting that area on vacation, the website to find out more details about the Independent Presbyterian Church of Savannah, Georgia, is ipcsav.org. IPC, standing for Independent Presbyterian Church, SAV, which is an abbreviation for Savannah.org, IPCSAV.org. And also, I'd like you to give a teaser for our upcoming interview this Wednesday, God willing. On Wednesday, May 8th, we're having Terry back on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to discuss his new book, The Identity and Attributes of God, a publication of Banner of Truth. If you could let our listeners know something about our next interview.
Well, I was very profoundly influenced by J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, when I was a college student at the University of Southern California back in the 1970s. And a few years ago, at the start of an academic year, I thought that for the sake of the college students in Savannah that I would do a series of 10 sermons on the attributes of God. That 10-part series turned into 82 sermons. and it did because as I read, I just got more deeply into the subject. Deeper and deeper I went. And I was enjoying reading Stephen Charnock, his Existence and Attributes, and George Swinnick's The Incomparableness of God, and Richard Baxter's The Divine Life, and a host of other Puritan and Reformed authors. And the series just expanded and expanded. It went over a three-year period. I thought that that might have some value. The studies that we shared might have some value beyond my own congregation, and so sent them off to the Banner of Truth, and in the end they agreed, and there you have it. It's really just, the current book is just half. I'm hoping the second volume will be published. This is just half of those messages.
Well, I want to read, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, there's just so much that one could say about right. the attributes of God. I mean, you cannot plunge the depths of the Almighty, as Job says. And,
right.
You know, there's just always more to be said.
Well, I'm going to read a brief commendation for that book from Carl Truman, who has been a guest a number of times on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I look forward to Carl returning to the program. But Carl says, this book is both profound in its theology, lucid in its exposition, and deeply pastoral and practical in its tone and intention. Anyone wanting to dive into the doctrine of God who wants to see how classical theism connects to everyday Christian life and what is therefore practically at stake when such theology is abandoned should read this book. That's Dr. Carl Truman. And also, I'd like you to let our listeners know something about the Banner of Truth and the conference that the Banner of Truth is hosting in just a couple of weeks. They are hosting this conference from Tuesday, the 28th of May, through Thursday, the 30th of May, in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, at Elizabethtown College. And this is a phenomenal conference that all men in ministry leadership are welcome to register for, and it's going to be on the theme, I believe, in the Holy Spirit. But if you could tell our listeners, I mean, I'm assuming that most of my listeners are familiar with Banner of Truth, since most of my listeners appear to be Reformed, judging from the correspondence we have with listeners. But there are listeners in our audience who are not even Christian, let alone Reformed. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Banner of Truth, and specifically also about this conference where you are on the speaking roster.
Well, one of the reasons I sought to publish the identity and attributes with Banner of Truth, and why prior to that I sought out publishing the case for traditional Protestantism with them, was because in my own growth as a young Christian, the Banner of Truth played an indispensable role because of their reprints and a number of their contemporary authors as well. They had a significant impact on shaping my own understanding of who God is and who we are as sinners and who we are as saved by Christ. And in other words, my whole understanding of Christianity was probably could say was shaped more by Banner of Truth and its authors than by any other single entity. So I'm very grateful for it. They always produce beautiful books. And it was a goal. I think they're the gold standard in publishing. And so I always wanted to have a really high-quality book published in a high-quality way that might endure, that wouldn't be just something was passing of interest for a temporary audience or just for the times, but would be of enduring value.
Yeah, that's a part of their philosophy, actually, that they don't want to print books that are just on current controversies. They want something that has a timeless value to it.
Yes. And so at this conference, I'm to speak on the subject of the Holy Spirit. There's several different speakers, and I'm going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit, particularly in connection with it, the Spirit's work in connection with the ministry, and how a biblical understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit will impact the way you go about doing ministry.
Great. Well, we will be repeating this again, God willing, but if you want more details on the Banner of Truth, not only on its publications, but on the East Coast Ministers Conference coming up May 28th through the 30th, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. If you're specifically looking for information on the conference, click on Events and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference, and you'll have all the details that you need to register. And now, what we do here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio, we have a tradition that when we have a first-time guest on the program, if that guest happens to be a genuinely regenerate Christian, sometimes we have, on rare occasions, guests that are not Christians because they've written something that may be of value to the body of Christ, even if they are not personally a Christian. But the vast majority of times, our guests are Christians, such as yourself. So if you could give us a summary of your salvation testimony and include with that testimony something of the religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, if any, and what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life to draw you to himself and save you.
I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents were members of Baptist churches when I was growing up, and so I was in the environment of faithful gospel preaching of the we could call it the revival tradition. So that we heard an evangelistic sermon every Sunday, and at the end of the service we would sing, you know, multiple stanzas of "Just as I Am." That was the environment I grew up in. I'm very grateful for it. Was blessed to hear good preaching, good evangelistic gospel preaching every Sunday, year in and year out. As for my own testimony, I don't remember a time when I didn't believe. As far back as I can remember, I had an implicit faith in that the Bible was true, that the gospel was true, that Jesus was all that he said he was, that I was a sinner, that I needed Christ to be saved, that I could not be saved by my good works, but only by faith. At an early age, I can recall being worried about friends who were not believers and what their eternal destiny might be, and even would question some of those friends about the condition of their soul. I've invited friends to church and to youth group. So I would say that there was a steady progression. There's no crisis conversion, but there was a steady progression, a steady growth in knowledge and commitment over the years, which were punctuated by spikes in growth that took place periodically. For example, at the age of 14, I became very concerned about my soul, talked to the minister, and ended up being baptized and making a public profession of faith. Something similar to that happened again when I was 18. But the real turning point in terms of the depth of commitment took place over time, but there was a 2-week period between my sophomore and junior years where I entered into that 2-week period one person and came out the other end with an entirely different outlook. And I don't, you know, it's one of those things where I don't know how and why exactly it happened, but part of the context was strong Christian friends at the University of Southern California. I got in with a crowd that was very zealous, very bold, outgoing, part of the fraternity, sorority, and athletic environment at USC. And then the other part was that we started attending the Grace Community Church in Panorama City, California, John MacArthur's church. This would have been about 1974, 75. And we started attending. As I recall, he was preaching on 1 John on Sunday nights, and we started going on Sunday nights. And what I recall is that the first time I went, he was preaching through several verses in 1 John. And when we walked out, I walked out just thinking in my mind, you know what? What he just did, that's what the preacher is supposed to do. He's supposed to explain the Bible to us. And that is what I had not heard growing up in the church that I grew up in. Again, the sermons were always directed at those other people who weren't saved. MacArthur was preaching to everybody.
Amen.
And challenging everybody. And it was tremendous. And the way I speak of those months that extended even into a couple of years, what was similar to what I was just saying about that 2-week period, every week I would walk into that church, one person, and walk out a different person. It was just powerful, life-transforming preaching. And at the time, I wasn't much of a Sabbatarian. I'd become one since then. But what we would do is, after the service, we would go down to In-N-Out Burgers, just down the street from Grace Community, and then this group of guys that I ran around with, we would order up our burgers, fries, and milkshake, and then we would discuss and debate the sermon. And just talk about it and argue about it. And it was, it just was a critical time in my own spiritual growth, spiritual development was, you know, between those guys at USC that I was going to church with and having Bible studies with, and then MacArthur's preaching really made the life-changing and decisive direction-setting outlook determining impact on me.
Well, praise God. Yes, and I do uphold our brother John MacArthur as one of my greatest heroes of the 20th and 21st centuries. I, as a new Christian, thankfully was nurtured on his writings, including The Gospel According to Jesus, which was a very controversial book that was published in my very early stages of Christianity in the 1980s. And it's truly amazing how, even though our brother John is a dispensationalist, the vast majority of Reformed Christians, including Presbyterians and Reformed Baptists that I know, uphold him as well as a great hero of the faith. And, of course, he is today and has been for a number of years a thoroughgoing Calvinist, in spite of being a dispensationalist. So he is certainly somebody to highly recommend to read and listen to.
Yeah, and he's a great lover of the Puritans.
Yes. Amen. And he is he's certainly not a stereotypical dispensationalist.
No. And to round out the picture, I was a history major at USC, and at the same time, I was reading Calvin for a Reformation history class, and I was reading Knowing God by Packer on my own, and I was introduced to Francis Schaeffer, whose books I devoured between my sophomore and junior years at USC. To kind of footnote that a little bit, I spent the summer living just off of the UCLA campus, which, for people who aren't from the West Coast, I think they're about maybe, I don't know, six miles apart. Maybe it's 9 miles apart. But you can see the UCLA campus from the upper floors of the dormitories at USC. So I spent a summer living at Hal Lindsey's, of late Great Planet Earth fame, little school that he had established in the Kappa Sig House. Just off of the UCLA campus. He called it the Light and Power House. And I was working at Beacons in Santa Monica, moving furniture during the day to make up the difference between my tuition bill and living expenses and all that I needed to earn during the summer. And then at night I was taking these classes from Hal Lindsey and several of his associates. And what Hal was teaching was not all that valuable, but what one of his associates was teaching was right out of Francis Schaeffer. And So that was my introduction. I was devouring that. So by the time I was a senior, I just felt like there was something qualitatively superior to the popular brand of Christianity that I was familiar with, that I was encountering reading Packer and Schaeffer and Calvin. And of course, the common element is they were all Calvinists.
Mm-hmm.
And they were covenantal in their theology. And so I decided then I was going to write to J.I. Packer and see if I could study in England with him. And
Wow. It
all ended up working out. So I spent 2 years at Trinity College in Bristol, England. And then I spent 2 years finishing up my degree at Gordon Conwell up in New England. And then spent 5 years as an intern and then an assistant minister at the Granada Presbyterian Church in Coral Gables. And I've been at my current church, the Independent Presbyterian Church, for 32 and a half years.
Wow. Well, praise God for that. That's not something you hear very often. A brother who has faithfully served in one church for that many years. Now, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody who is called to another church after a shorter period of time, but it is just an unusual thing and a wonderful thing to hear. And also, it's amazing, God being sovereign, how many people I have met who were saved through the late great planet Earth in spite of anything extremely flawed in the thinking and teaching of Hal Lindsey. And I could say the same thing about Billy Graham, the late Billy Graham. How many people I know who are theologically reformed today, who are even opposed to the Arminian invitation system, who came to faith in Christ at a Billy Graham crusade. So God does what he wants to do.
Yeah, well, he blesses his word.
Yes.
And so even the flawed presentations, which I guess all of us to one degree or another are flawed in our presentation, but he blesses his word even when it's very flawed. The gospel message gets through and converts people.
Amen. Well, when we return from the break, we're going to get right into the heart of our subject today, which is the traditional, or should I say the case for traditional Protestantism, the five solas of the Reformation, This is a book by our guest, Terry L. Johnson, and it is our theme of discussion today. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, just send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please, as always, give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastor or your own church on something that we're addressing today. Obviously, I would want you to remain anonymous if that was the case. Or perhaps you are a pastor yourself and you disagree with your denomination about something we are discussing. Well, I could also readily see that being a reason to remain anonymous. Perhaps you disagree with your spouse or whatever reason that you have that you are wanting to remain anonymous, as long as it's a personal and private matter. Perhaps you're going through a transformation in your own thinking and you'd rather not call attention to your identity. You're perhaps an Arminian or a Roman Catholic or a Muslim or someone outside completely of the Christian faith, and you are being drawn perhaps and you're considering these things, but you don't want anyone in the public to know yet about this. Well, please remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with more of Terry L. Johnson and the case for traditional Protestantism.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore.
Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is Terry L. Johnson, author, conference speaker, and senior minister of Independent Presbyterian Church of Savannah, Georgia. We are addressing one of his books today, The Case for Traditional Protestantism, and we're also discussing and promoting the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Manner of Truth coming up this May 28th through the 30th. That's Tuesday through Thursday, 28th through the 30th. That's going to be held at the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question in regard to the case for traditional Protestantism or on any theological matter, since Terry is both a theologian and a pastor, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. This is a interesting title in the 21st century, The Case for Traditional Protestantism, because as you may know, Pastor Terry, Protestantism has become a dirty word for quite a while amongst a number of people. In fact, people on opposite ends of the spectrum, you have those that are fundamentalist brethren. Very often they will have a disdain for the term Protestantism. They will automatically equate it with either liberal mainline Protestantism, or they will even focus on some of the unfortunate manner with which the magisterial Protestants of the 16th century and even more recent in history have treated those who were Anabaptists or Baptistic and so on. So you have these people who have a hostility towards Protestantism from that camp, and also you have the mushy-gushy, squishy-wishy evangelicals who are so focused on not offending people today that they perhaps have modern-day ecumenism as a hallmark of their philosophy, and they don't really want to identify with Protestantism. That sounds too sectarian to them. Why did you choose to use this term in the title of your book?
Well, I did so because I was concerned about the blurring of the distinctions between classic Protestantism and Roman Catholicism. I was concerned that, in a couple of ways, I was concerned that something valuable was being lost in the blurring of the lines, and I was concerned that there were too many people who were brought up Protestant who were tempted to convert to Roman Catholicism. And my own experience was shaped by the shocking departure of a number of my closest friends and classmates from Gordon Conwell to Roman Catholicism. This would include people such as Scott Hahn, Jerry Matatix, Steve Wood, Marcus Grody. These are guys I went to church with.
Wow.
Almost every Sunday.
Yeah, Jerry Matatix, I don't know if you're familiar with the theological debates that I've organized, but my dear friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who has a long history of debating Roman Catholics, for a decade on Long Island, I arranged debates between Dr. White and Roman Catholic apologists, and Jerry Matatix was the very first one who debated on the Marian dogmas, and he has since become, as you may know, a state of vacantist, so he's even outside of the norm of Roman Catholicism these days. But and all of those names I am very familiar with, and Scott Hahn has refused to participate in any public debate I've invited him to be involved in, and Marcus Grody the same thing. But if you could, I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, I went to church with them every Sunday. They were on the right wing of the Presbyterian faction at Gordon Conwell, they were, most of them were theonomists. And remarkably, they went from theonomy all the way over to Roman Catholicism. And Scott Hahn wrote a book called, I think it's Rome Sweet Home, in which he described his conversion. And so my concern that one could graduate from a Protestant seminary like Gordon Conwell and end up a Roman Catholic motivated me to try to reinforce in a semi-popular way the distinctives of Protestantism that are worth preserving. And I did so around the mottos of the Reformation, sola scriptura, solo Christo, sola fide, sola gratia, soli Deo gloria. I don't know that those five mottos had ever previously been brought together in a single publication. I don't think they were ever utilized that way before, certainly not before the 20th century, and I don't think until that was published, I don't think there's even a single book in which that was done.
Wow.
But the reason why I did it was I thought it was a very convenient handle with which to explain and to remember what the issues of the Reformation were and why those issues are worth continuing to fight about or to maintain, and why the doctrines that separate us are worth continuing to teach. And you can really sum it all up with the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? And the answer that Protestants give is very different than the answer that Roman Catholics give.
That's right.
Our answer is you must look to Scripture alone, which directs us to Christ alone, whom we receive by faith alone, as enabled by grace alone, all through the glory of God alone. And when you begin to elaborate on those, you come out with a very sharp distinction between a Roman Catholic understanding of the answer to that question and a Protestant one.
And that makes it a salvific issue. That actually makes it a matter of spiritual life or death, doesn't it?
Well, I think it does. And I think Galatians 1, I think the Apostle Paul there with the Judaizing tendency to affirm the necessity of faith in Christ, but to add to it the keeping of the ceremonial law. I think that is in principle the mistake that Roman Catholicism made and codified at the Council of Trent in the middle 1500s when they insisted that justification is by faith plus works. And in the process, it really lost the purity of the gospel. So I felt like that those basic principles needed to be re-articulated and made available to people so that they could have an easy handle on what the differences are. I mean, people today, they just look at the two and they don't see any difference at all. It may be a little bit different form of worship, but I think it was a big to-do about nothing.
Yeah, I am continually troubled, to put it mildly, by the number of people that would share they would outwardly share our love for Reformed theology. They might even be confessional. Sometimes are pastors or leaders or authors representing the Reformed faith. But how often I encounter even some who I would consider my favorite authors or speakers, I will occasionally be shocked when I hear them speaking in a very ecumenical way in regard to Roman Catholics and speak to them generally as our brothers and sisters. Now, I, of course, know that there are regenerate Roman Catholics, but that's because they are believing and trusting in a biblical gospel in spite of the heresies of their own denomination. But I'm assuming this concerns you just as much as it concerns me. It almost appears at times that those who want so desperately to be recognized academically and in the world of scholarship, they are afraid of looking too much like fundamentalists or separatists, and they will be very soft in their opposition to Rome. Does this trouble you as much as it troubles me?
Well, I think that if we in the process are going to water down those important gospels that we've just mentioned, then yes, it does trouble me. I don't think there can be any compromising of those, any watering down of the difference. I think that's a mistake. I just think that they are what they are, and we are what we are, and you know, we can respect each other in that way. But I don't think that there should be pressure to try to, for an Orthodox Roman Catholic to water down what he or she believes, or for an Orthodox Protestant to water down what we believe. But I think it's helpful to note that, you know, we do hold a lot in common.
Yes.
We both affirm the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Chalcedonian Creed. We believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, the dual nature of Christ. We have a lot in common. And so there's a great body of truth to summarize in those creeds that we agree upon with Roman Catholics and with Eastern Orthodox, and I think that with the Western civilization getting more and more secular and hostile to all forms of Christianity, I think we find ourselves being co-belligerents with the Catholics and the Orthodox in our quest to protect the rights of Christians to practice Christianity without interference from the government, and to protect the life of the unborn. And so we're working together more than ever, but I don't think that working together should ever involve watering down the doctrinal differences.
Yes.
We can work together in certain social issues and moral issues, and I'm all for that. In fact, in some ways, in spite of this book, I'm like the Roman Catholic's favorite Protestant in my part of the country, because we understand each other. For that matter, the Orthodox Jews,
mm-hmm.
We understand each other. We understand where we're coming from. People, secular, you know, pagan Americans just think we're ridiculous because of our practices and our beliefs, and they just scorn them. But if you encounter an Orthodox Christian of another stripe or an Orthodox Jew, you know, they don't agree. We don't agree with each other, but we understand each other. And
right.
that mutual understanding can be valuable.
Yes, and to clarify for our listeners who are unfamiliar with the term co-belligerence, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but that's basically when you are uniting with someone that you have serious differences with, but you share a common cause that you believe it is appropriate to unite with them on those areas. Like, for instance, to give you an example of the right and wrong way to do that, my friend that I mentioned before, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, he used to belong to a specific pro-life organization that he had to resign from by his own volition, because they did not want him to ever evangelize the Roman Catholics that were involved in the same public events where he was, and there would be people reading the rosary and praying to Mary at these events, and he was forbidden to, in love, correct them in any manner or evangelize them, so he had to resign. Now, that's where co-belligerence would really lose its meaning, when you are forbidden to actually share the gospel with those that you are working with on other social and moral issues.
Well, the way it has worked out for me has been this way. Twice I've been asked to give the opening prayer for the March for Life in Washington, D.C., which is an annual event that takes place on the anniversary of the Roe Wade decision,
mm-hmm.
January 22nd, and there's tens of thousands, even into the hundreds of thousands of people that participate. Well, it's dominated by Roman Catholics. There are Protestants, you know, they're there, but it's dominated by Roman Catholics. All of the leadership is Roman Catholic. But twice they've asked me to come and to do the opening prayer, which I've been happy to do. And one time they asked me to address the subject you can't legislate morality. But they have this conference immediately following the march, and so I was one of the featured speakers, and so my subject, you can't legislate morality. So I was able to speak to them on this general theme, and my argument was that all law legislates morality. Law is simply the expression of morality.
Right.
So we were able to work together at that level. We could never work together in an evangelistic crusade.
Right.
Because we don't understand the evangel in the same way. And I would not be happy for any converts to begin to go to Roman Catholic churches where I think that they will only get confused.
Right.
So I think that's how you decide who you can work with. You work with them at the level at which you can work and not compromise anything, and where you have confidence in each other when it comes to moral issues, pretty much. When it comes to the gospel, pretty much not.
Right. In fact, I was very puzzled when somebody who I would also consider my hero, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, he very rightfully joined forces with John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul to oppose the evangelical and Catholics together peace treaty that was drafted by the late Charles Colson and others. Dr. Kennedy very rightly opposed this, but then, confusingly, before he went home to be with the Lord, he orchestrated a conference and cruise called Reclaiming America for the Gospel and had a Roman Catholic priest as a part of the roster. Now, if it was just about what you were talking about, a co-belligerent event that involved the corruption of America through the failure of morality and other social aspects that have been destroying this country, that I could understand. But when he included reclaiming America for the gospel, that's where I had some serious problems. But the Lord took him home before that event ever manifested or became to be. But we have to go to our midway break right now. This is a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because they air their own public service announcements and commercials that localize Zion Trip and Zion Radio to Lake City, Florida in the middle of our show while we air our own commercials that are heard globally. So I ask you to please not only use this time wisely to write down questions for Terry Johnson on our subject today, but also please use this time to write down the information provided by our advertisers, because we depend on our advertisers to exist. The funding financially that they provide through their advertising dollars is required for us to continue on the air. So please write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them as often as you can. But we're going to be back after this break with more on the case for traditional Protestantism with Terry L. Johnson, Senior Minister of Independent Presbyterian Church of Savannah, Georgia. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more. And in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768.
3768 or go to batterydepot.com. That's batterydepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, "God bless you," and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday, between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And they have an amazing offer. Because of my personal recommendation, they are giving away, absolutely free of charge, my favorite biography of all time. It's called A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone. That's C-O-N-E. And this is a remarkable biography, hardback biography, published by Evangelical Press, about a very unknown man in our day and age, a person who was very well known in the 19th century, but seems to have fallen off the radar over the last 150 years or so. He is, or was, Spencer Cone, a fascinating person, so fascinating that I think that someone should make a film about his life, or at least a documentary. He was a school teacher. He was a theater actor, a stage actor in the 19th century. He was a lawyer. He was a pastor. He was a war hero in the War of 1812. He is just an amazing figure that unfortunately is almost unknown today. In fact, I can't even remember a time where I've mentioned this figure from history's name, Spencer Cone, where the person I was speaking to knew who I was talking about. If you love a good biography, if you love church history, you're going to fall in love with this book, The Life and Time of Spencer Cone. It's a pastor in New York, The Life and Time of Spencer Cone, written by John Thornberry, my dear friend, retired from the ministry, living in Kentucky now, but he was pastoring in Pennsylvania for quite a number of years, a Reformed Baptist brother who wrote this book. He's also a Baptist historian. And if you purchase $50 worth of merchandise, a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise, you will get this book absolutely free of charge. Go to cvbbs.com. You will have to put the book, A Pastor in New York, in your cart. And then when you enter the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, which is all caps, all one word, Iron Sharpens Iron, that price for that book will be deleted or subtracted from your total. You have to purchase at least $50 worth of merchandise in addition to that book, and then when you enter the coupon code, that book's cost will be subtracted from your total. And remember, it's Iron Sharpens Iron, all caps, all one word, at cvbbs.com. And of course, if you call them at their toll-free number Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern, you could verbally tell them the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron and ask for the free copy of A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry, published by Evangelical Press. As long as you're purchasing $50 worth of merchandise, they'll give that to you for free. 800-656-0231 is the number, 800-656-0231. Before we return to my guest today, Terry L. Johnson, if you've just tuned us in, we have been discussing his book, The Case for Traditional Protestantism. Before we return to that discussion, we just have some upcoming announcements that you need to be aware of. First of all, why don't you mark down on your calendar that Terry L. Johnson is returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, God willing, this Wednesday. We're going to be discussing the attributes of God, which is also a part of the subject, or the main theme of the subject, of a book he has written, a newer book that he has written for Banner of Truth. So mark your calendar for this Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, for Terry L. Johnson's second interview with us this week. Also, coming up in May, this month, a couple of weeks away, on Thursday, May 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., I am having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. It's absolutely free of charge. It's being held at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And not only are you going to be getting free food, but you're going to hear for free what I'm sure will be an amazing lecture from Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary, on the theme, The Dead Sea Scrolls Vindicate the Reliability of the Bible. And in addition to all of that, you'll also get for free a heavy sack, or maybe even two heavy sacks, of free brand new books that have been selected by me for every pastor in attendance. And these are brand new books that have been donated by nearly every major Christian publisher in the United States and the United Kingdom. So in other words, you're going to be getting a couple of dozen free books, perhaps even three dozen books, absolutely free. And there is no hidden agenda. There's no ulterior motive. This was a brainchild. This pastor's luncheon was a brainchild of my precious late wife, Julie, in the 1990s. And we have been continuing these luncheons in her memory after she went home to be with the Lord for eternity. So I continue to do this in her honor and to bless the pastors, which was what my precious late wife's goal was. She wanted the pastors to be treated to a day of rest, relaxation, fun, fellowship, refreshment, and to be bless them with free books. And she knows, she knew that pastors very often are not invited to things that don't have a hidden agenda or an ulterior motive behind them. And so this was her gift to the pastors that I knew, and I'm continuing to do it in her honor. And if you would like to register for free, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. As long as you're a man in ministry leadership, whether you're a pastor or an elder, and I believe those are the same office, by the way, a deacon, a parachurch leader, whatever leadership position that you hold as a man, you'll be welcome to this luncheon. And just to give you an interesting bit of trivia, although my wife is the one that came up with this luncheon, and although I told her every year, you know, you can come to the luncheon because you're my wife, number one, and number two, you're the one that came up with the idea for these luncheons. And my wife, because she strongly believed in a complementarian understanding of headship in the church and in the home, she did not believe in women in the ministry, she would never come to the to the luncheons. So I just thought I'd let you know about that interesting bit of trivia. But send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we will register you for the Pastor's Luncheon if you put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And then, right after that, Dr. Tony Costa, the speaker at the Pastor's Luncheon, and I are heading to Long Island, New York, for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday immediately following the luncheon. That's Friday, May 24th through Sunday, May 26th. And he will be speaking at a number of different churches on different themes, including New Hyde Park Baptist Church in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, including Wading River Baptist Church in Central Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, including Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, and including Missio Church in Eastern Suffolk County in Ridge, New York. If you want an itinerary, a complete itinerary for Dr. Costa, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Dr. Tony Costa in the subject line. I will send you his complete itinerary. Then, as soon as that's finished, I'm heading back to Pennsylvania for the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference that we have been discussing. That's Tuesday, May 28th through Thursday, May 30th. At the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. The theme is I Believe in the Holy Spirit, and the speakers include our guest today, Terry Johnson, and also Jeff Kingswood, and David Vaughn, and Steve Nichols, and Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. If you would like to register for this conference, the East Coast Ministers Conference, as long as you're a man in ministry leadership, the same qualifications for my pastor's luncheon, you will be able to register at banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. Then, after that, A few months after that, I am going to be packing my bags and heading back to my old stomping grounds in New York City to the Foundations Conference. This is a conference orchestrated by Sermon Audio, sermonaudio.com. It's being held December 19th and 20th in the heart of Manhattan. And I hope as many of you join me there as possible. It's Thursday, December 19th, and Friday, December 20th. And the speakers are also phenomenal at this conference. They include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you've been hearing advertising New Covenant Church NYC, one of the sponsors of this program. He is the founder of One Passion Ministries and one of the most profound preachers alive today, in my opinion. Paul Washer is another one of the amazing preachers on this lineup. I'm looking forward to hearing him again. Reverend Jeff Thomas, somebody who everybody who's familiar with Banner of Truth is likely very familiar with this brother, not only an author but a profound conference speaker. And he was a pastor at the same church for over half a century in Aberystwyth, Wales. You will be extraordinarily blessed by this brother. And also Reverend Armin Tomasian, who I think is going to become a household name over the next decade in Reformed circles. He is a powerful, powerful preacher far beyond, or gifts with gifts far beyond his youth. And you will be blessed by him, I'm certain, if you love the doctrines of sovereign grace. That's Reverend Armin Tomasian. Richard Caldwell and Anthony Quigley are also on the lineup. I do not know these brothers, and I've never heard them preach, but if Sermon Audio selected them, I am sure they are going to be magnificent, and I'm looking forward to hearing them. If you'd like to register, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and you can register for this event Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in Manhattan. And I would strongly urge you to do so quickly if you'd like to go, because they can only managed to hold less than 200 people at the venue that they're using in Manhattan. So please register soon if you want to attend. And then I'm going to be heading in January once again to Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, to the Georgia International Convention Center. And that is the home of the G3 Conference, which is going to be on the theme Worship Matters. And that is going to be held from Thursday, January 16th, through Saturday, January 18th, in College Park, Georgia. And they also, as they do every year, have an amazing lineup of speakers, which includes Kosti Hinn. And if that name sounds familiar, it probably does for a very bad reason, because Kosti's uncle is the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn. But Kosti has renounced the Word of Faith movement that he was raised in and has become a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist. He is a part of this roster. What a precious brother in Christ he is. I've interviewed him a couple of times, and I look forward to many more interviews with him. David Miller is on the roster. He is a really profound preacher as well. Derek Thomas, who I'm sure many of our listeners today are very familiar with, especially if you love the ministry of Banner of Truth. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who I've mentioned a couple of times today, he is going to be on the roster. Joel Beakey, who is another name very familiar to Reformed Christians, a good friend of mine since the 1990s. Josh Bice, who is the founder of the G3 Conference. Paul Washer and Stephen Lawson, once again, will be at this conference. My dear friend of many years, Dr. Tom Askell, the executive director of Founders Ministries. And Vody Balcom, who is also one of the most extraordinary speakers in our day and age. If you'd like to register for the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I strongly urge you, if you want to promote a business, a parachurch ministry, a church, or anything else that you believe is a blessing to the body of Christ, I would urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning at the G3 Conference, because they expect over 5,000 people again. Every year they have over 5,000 in attendance at the G3 Conference, so it's an ideal place to promote whatever it is you want to promote. So you can register to attend and also for an exhibitor's booth at g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love this program, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of your donations because we have very important bills that need to be paid in order for us to continue to exist. So please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly that way with a debit or credit card. If you prefer mailing in a check via snail mail, an address appears on the screen where you can mail in a check made out to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of Scripture, honoring and providing for your church and your home. Providing for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money to use for benevolent purposes, and you love this show and you don't want it to go away, please go to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you have a hard time finding a church home, if you do not currently belong to a church, if you're not prayerfully seeking for a Bible-believing church near you, you are living in rebellion against God. You need to rectify that. I can help you. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put in the subject line, I need a church home. And even if you're looking for a church to attend while you're on vacation, I can help you. I've already helped quite a number of people in our audience find good churches, so I can help you too. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church home or something similar in the subject line. If you'd like to advertise with us, we urgently need your advertising dollars, so send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe, we will help you launch an ad campaign immediately. And you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Advertising in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for our guest, Terry L. Johnson, on the case for traditional Protestantism, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing from you and your questions. Well, we have a question for you, Pastor Terry. We have a question from Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who's been a longtime listener of our show and a very generous contributor to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as well. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. I have to enlarge his question because the font is microscopic. But he says, Chris, you never cease to amaze me with your guests and the information they provide. Brother Terry, we hear and read about the Reformers, Luther, Calvin, and Zwingli, but seldom hear about John Huss and others in his era that stood up for the faith. Does your book cover that part of the Protestant history? Yeah, that, I guess that we'd call that the Proto-Reformation. John Huss, it's pronounced different ways, the Bohemian martyr who died for his faith before the Protestant Reformation. But if you could address Grady's question.
No, it really doesn't. Huss is burned at the stake 400 years before Luther. He was fighting the corruption of the Renaissance Church, and was executed for his troubles. But he didn't really anticipate the doctrine of justification by faith. So he's not. I don't think he's can be cited as at least on that principle. As an example of an early Protestant, he was opposed to the corruption. I'm a little hazy on Huss. As I recall, he was a conciliarist. In other words, he argued for the supremacy of church councils over the authority of the Pope. He, along with conciliarism, were condemned in 1415 by the Council of Constance. Huss and Wycliffe, Wycliffe is known as the morning star of the Reformation. They both anticipate certain elements of the Protestant Reformation, but really the clarity of the doctrinal distinctions between Rome and Protestants really don't come out until Luther and after Luther. So in terms of the book itself, I didn't write a whole lot. Huss had quite a bit of influence on Luther himself. And Luther ends up saying that Huss was right and that the church was wrong when he is on trial at Worms. But otherwise, no, I don't have a whole lot to say about Huss. Though, you know, I'd love to know more about him and admire the stand that he did take. It just wasn't a specifically Protestant stand, except in the areas that I just mentioned.
Well, thank you, Grady. You have won a free copy of the book that we are discussing, The Case for Traditional Protestantism, Compliments of Banner of Truth. So if you send us your full mailing address in Asheboro, North Carolina, we will have cvbbs.com ship that out to you. Thanks so much for the excellent question. Before I go to any other of our listener questions, first of all, let me repeat our email address. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. But the evangelical faith is a chapter in your book, and today the word evangelical seems to have lost its meaning, because that would be an umbrella term encompassing people that you and I would be very much in disagreement with. But what do you mean, and what did history mean by the evangelical faith?
Well, the historic use of the term was synonymous with Protestant. So especially in Germany and in Lutheran circles, to be an evangelical was to be a Protestant. To be a Protestant was to be an evangelical. In the American scene, it's been the more serious kind of Protestants, the more biblical kind of Protestants that traditionally have been known as evangelicals. They were Protestants that were strong on the authority of Scripture, who gave emphasis to the evangelizing of the lost. In other words, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching Protestants are evangelicals. And when you get, by the time the use of the term evolves into the 20th century, they're often set in opposition to liberals. There are liberals and there are evangelicals. That comes about really in the post-World War II part of the 20th century. And evangelicals were attempting to distance themselves from certain aspects of fundamentalism. So, the history is a little bit complex, but if you go back to the 1920s and the Scopes Monkey Trial, you have fundamentalists and modernists. That terminology ends up evolving, and modernists come to be called liberals, and fundamentalists, a few decades later, because of the separatism that was characteristic of fundamentalism and because of elements of legalism where rules and restrictions that were extra-biblical were imposed on congregations, serious Protestants who believe the Bible and are eager to evangelize instead take on the name of evangelical rather than fundamentalist. And Carl Henry and Harold John Ockingay, Harold Zinzel were among the leaders who were advocating dropping the fundamentalist label and instead utilizing the term evangelical, both because they wanted to distance themselves from fundamentalism, but also because they wanted to use a historic term that was rooted in the Reformation itself. But like you mentioned, I think in modern times, I'm fewer and fewer times am inclined to use it, because it's brought, I'd rather speak of myself as a Reformed Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't. The problem with that is that the world hears Reformed Christian and they think, "What are you Reformed from?" we're really caught. Are we mere Christians? You know, the early Puritans, right through to John Owen, they wanted to be known as Catholics. They weren't willing to surrender the term Catholic to Roman Catholics. They thought that was a very good, important, historic word that speaks of the universality of the church and its belief and practices, and that the innovators were really the Roman Catholics. They are the ones who embraced all of the innovations and novelties that developed during the Middle Ages over the 1,000-year period from the early church and the church of late antiquity through the time of the Reformation. And so they were claiming to reform the church and merely return it to Catholicity of practice and of belief that was characteristic of the early church. And so they didn't want to surrender that word. They wanted to be known, like Richard Baxter speaks of himself, as a mere Catholic, small c. So I don't know. The terminology is ambiguous in no matter what direction that we look. Evangelical, Reformed, Catholic, Orthodox, that's another term. You know, we have Orthodox Presbyterians. We also have Eastern Orthodoxy, so there's confusion with that term. I think every label requires some explanation. I don't think there are any good labels anymore. I think everything that you use to try to identify yourself, Bible-believing Christian, I mean, that's Bible-believing, historically rooted Christian. That about sums up, you know, where I stand.
Yeah, and of course, people that call themselves biblicists, in order to avoid the trappings of labels, they fail miserably because there are cults that call themselves biblicists.
Right, so we in our church, I'm not saying this needs to be the practice of every church, but we recite the Apostles' Creed every week. One reason why I like the fact that we do that is that it connects us with the mainstream of Christendom over the last 2,000 years. A cult is not going to recite the Apostles' Creed.
Right.
These are the basic foundational doctrines. God is the Creator, Christ is the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit is the one who applies redemption, and so you have a Trinitarian creed, and what we're doing is we're linking hands with 20 centuries of Christian history, belief and practice. So that means that, you know, we're not a cult. We didn't discover the truth. We didn't just spring out of the ground whole yesterday. We owe something of our identity, our convictions to the church. Historic.
Amen. And that's also.
And I'm not willing to surrender the history of the church to the Roman Catholics.
Right. We share much in common with many of the church fathers. The patristic evidence would prove that. Very often the church fathers would be more in agreement with the reformers than with Rome.
Well, this is the background to Hugh Old's groundbreaking book, The Patristic Roots of Reformed Worship. You know, every one of the reforms, of the reformers, of Reformed Protestantism, did what they did on the basis both of the Bible, its theology and its exegesis, and historic practice. So when they were looking for reforming the preaching of the church, they had both the Bible to look to, but they also had the sermons of Augustine and the sermons of Chrysostom, which were verse by verse expositions of books of the Bible. So when Zwingli decided January 1st of 1519 to begin preaching through Matthew's gospel, he had in hand John Chrysostom's freshly published sermons on Matthew. He saw that and he said, "What a great idea!" And so he began to preach verse by verse. It was something of a novelty then, but what it really was a restoration of patristic practice. And I don't think it's really proper to speak of Roman Catholicism until the Council of Trent,
right,
and the Counter-Reformation. Prior to that, you know, there are Christians in the Middle Ages that we would share much in common with. The evangelistic zeal of the Irish monks, for example. Yeah, they were monks, but my Old Testament teacher at Trinity College in Bristol called them anti-papal evangelicals.
Huh.
These early monks. They were gospel preachers, and they were opposed to the power of the papacy. And it took a couple of centuries, but eventually they were brought into line, but not initially. So I'm not willing to yield all that history to somebody else. Calvin quotes Augustine on almost every page of the Institutes, and he frequently quotes Bernard of Clairvaux, and that would be true of many of the Puritans as well. They loved Bernard of Clairvaux. So, you know, there's much to be gleaned from the whole history of the church.
Amen.
Not compromising our faith in the process.
Amen. Yeah, I'd like to throw in a plug for a massive, groundbreaking 900-volume work in three volumes, 900-page work in three volumes, Holy Scripture, the Ground and Pillar of Our Faith, co-authored by Reformed Baptist William Webster and Presbyterian David T. King, and amazing three-volume set on the very issue of the belief in sola scriptura by the Church Fathers prior to the Reformation, prior to the 16th century Reformation.
Interesting. I know David King. He was pastoring a Presbyterian church in this area.
Yes. And he is now attending and a member of a church in Katy, Texas. Not pastoring the church, but he does fill the pulpit a lot. So
I see.
He's a dear brother of mine. Let's go to another listener here. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, since this is the 400th anniversary of the Synod of Dort, can you explain, at least in summary form, how the Westminster standards might be different from the Synod of Dort and the canons thereof? If there are any significant ones, I am not familiar if there are significant differences, but perhaps you know.
Yeah, I don't think that there are differences per se. I don't have any particular expertise on Dort. Dr. Godfrey is the great expert on Dort. That was the subject of his doctoral dissertation.
Yeah, he just wrote a book recently. I think it's fairly new on that subject.
Yes. But I think the difference is that the Westminster Confession is a far more comprehensive statement of faith. Dort was primarily taken up with rebutting the Arminians in the Dutch church, and it was a semi-international conference in that Calvinists from Scotland and England and Germany and Holland and France all participated in it, but it was mainly concerned with rebutting the 5 points of Arminianism, which is how we got the 5 points of Calvinism, which it did. But the Westminster Confession is arguably the most comprehensive Reformation-era confession that was written, and it covers the whole span of theology and practice. And it's a much more pastoral document rather than strictly doctrinal. For example, it has chapters on assurance and on the place of the law of God in the Christian life, and it has sections on prayer, and in other words, and then through the catechisms, lengthy expositions of the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. So it's the work of the Westminster Divines was far more comprehensive than that which was, produced by Dort.
Well, thanks, John, in Bangor, Maine. Give us your full mailing address in Maine, and cvbbs.com will ship you out a free copy of the book that we are addressing, The Case for Traditional Protestantism, compliments of our friends at the Banner of Truth. Thank you very much for contributing an excellent question to our discussion today. Let's see, we have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who asks, what do you think are the primary solas of the Reformation that Rome opposes?
Well, I think that Rome primarily opposes the first four, certainly. Is the final authority in Scripture, is the final authority the church? Is there equal authority in the oral tradition so that you have holy tradition as well as holy scripture, and the church as the arbiter of that synthesizes the oral tradition with the written scripture, and therefore the church ultimately is determining faith and practice, or is it scripture that is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice? Practical application of that, why do Roman Catholics believe in the bodily assumption of Mary?
Right.
A Protestant will go to a Roman Catholic and say, now, hey, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, that
right.
doesn't trouble them at all. It's part of the oral tradition of which the church has been the caretaker over the centuries, and part of that oral tradition is this teaching about her bodily assumption. She didn't die. She was co-redeemer, co-mediator. She was sinless at the time of the conception of Jesus, so that we have an immaculate conception, not just a virgin birth, but an immaculate conception. So that's based on sola scriptura. So yes, they come out with different answers to the basic questions, to a significant degree, because they have a different source of authority.
Right.
They have multiple sources of authority, whereas we're going to limit ourselves to Scripture. So I think that's the foundational difference there. Solo Christo, Christ alone, if you believe that the death of Christ is final and complete and atones, that has a radical impact on the ministry of the church, because
right.
this, at the center of Roman Catholic practice, is an understanding of the Mass as a sacrifice.
Right, a propitiatory.
Christ. Yes, Trent defines it, Council of Trent, the defining council of Roman Catholicism, defines it as a propitiatory sacrifice. So that means what happens in the center of the life of God's people is a sacrifice is offered by a priest on an altar that propitiates, as opposed to understanding the atonement and its finality, which forbids that we would think that a sacrifice was being offered. So there's this contrast. We say it's a meal, they say it's a mass. We say it's a supper, they say it's a sacrifice. We say that piece of furniture is a table, they say it's an altar. We say that the clergyman is a pastor or a preacher, they say he's a priest. We say that you should receive the sacrament in the posture that one assumes when eating a meal, they say you kneel and offer adoration to the elevated host and the elevated cup, because Christ is physically carnally present in the supper. So with Solo Christo, out goes the sacrificial mass, out goes prayers for the dead, out goes the doctrine of transubstantiation, out goes the belief in purgatory. I mean, the whole structure of Roman Catholic practice collapses at that point.
Right.
Solo Christo. And then that's further reinforced by sola fide. If you believe in justification by faith alone, you're going to fill your worship services with Scripture. And the service is going to be conducted in the vernacular so that people can understand what's going on, because
right.
unlike the Roman Catholic Church teaches, implicit faith is not enough. You must have personal faith.
Mm-hmm.
And faith comes by hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. We're born again by the living and abiding word. We grow by the pure milk of the word. We're sanctified by the truth. So scriptural content is crucial. The service will need to be in the language of the people. The word will be at the heart of the service. It'll be read, preached, sung, prayed, and even a sacrament. So it will be understood, using Augustine's terminology, as visible words. So it's not going to do for people to be sitting in a service in which the service is conducted in Latin, and people are sitting in straight rows going all the way back in the distance where all they can hear is the mumbling of the service in they're going to need to understand what's being said so that they might exercise saving faith. Grace alone, you know, the whole prayer life of the church expanded because of the principle of sola gratia.
Mm-hmm.
If we are dependent on God's initiative, we better be praying for God to act. And so normally we don't think of the Reformation as a revolution in prayer, but it really was. The reformers restored the prayer of praise to the ordinary services of the church, the prayers of intercession, the prayer of illumination, the benediction. These were all added to the ordinary service of the church because of the conviction that prayer should be at the heart of the church's life when it gathers. Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." So every one of these principles, both doctrinally and in practical application, separates Rome from Protestantism.
That's right.
In very significant ways.
Yes. And in my experience, you do have Roman Catholics that are more ecumenically minded who, I think, redefine some of the solas and claim them as their own. Like, they may say they believe in solo Christos. They may say they believe in sola gratia. But they certainly, the vast majority, would be openly and specifically and vociferously opposed to the sola scriptura and sola fide. That's where they get a hard time kind of hiding behind a redefinition of the other solos.
Right. And but the other interesting thing is after basically 500 years of resisting the Reformation, Vatican II, they restored the vernacular. Services are now conducted in the language of the people. They gave new, fresh emphasis to preaching, fresh emphasis to congregational singing. They restored the cup, which had been withheld, restore that to the laity. So they were allowed communion in both kinds thereafter. So it took, and they restored the prayers of intercession to the ordinary services of the church. So it's interesting. It took 500 years, but many of the worship reforms were finally embraced by Rome at
right.
Vatican II. While they continued to cling to their sacerdotalism and sacramentalism, and their priestly understanding of the clergy and the role of the sacrament and their understanding of the sacrament.
Yeah, I find it amazing on those occasions when I have been in attendance at a Catholic church after my conversion. I was raised Catholic, and I'm now a Reformed Baptist, and have been since the 1980s. But if I'm attending some kind of a funeral service or a wedding in a Catholic church, it's amazing how often I will hear Protestant hymns that they really have no business singing if they really believed in the words like Amazing Grace and other things. They're being very inconsistent, just like anybody who denies particular redemption, for them to call themselves, for them to say that they believe in substitutionary atonement is also ironic that you'll have many Arminians claiming that phrase for themselves when they really can't consistently and logically believe in that. But we are going to our final break right now. It's a much more brief break than the last one. If you want to ask a question, do so now, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted." He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. Has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on firstloveradio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and this is the last few minutes of our interview today with Terry L. Johnson. And if you could, Pastor Johnson, if you could summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today when it comes to the case for traditional Protestantism.
I would hope they would not allow themselves to be enticed by Roman Catholicism. It sometimes is appealing to Protestants who are tired of the divisiveness of Protestantism, and they imagine with Rome you have a unified church that has a 2,000-year history and which is undivided into thousands of groups, as are Protestants. But I think that unity is more imaginary than real.
That's right.
And that that the doctrinal distinctions are not trivial. They're not petty and small. They are central. They are crucial. They are vital. And the distinctives of Protestants are worth preserving and strike right at the heart of the gospel itself. And so there's no relief to be found at Rome. We can admire the strong moral stands that they have taken, but the theological errors that they remain attached to, and those errors are intolerable if you care about preserving the gospel itself.
Amen. Well, I want you folks to remember this Wednesday, Pastor Terry L. Johnson is returning, God willing, to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to discuss his book, The Identity and Attributes of God, a much more recent publication of Banner of Truth. And don't forget that you can order that book from banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. You can also find out more information about the Banner of Truth conference coming up May 28th through the 30th at that website, banneroftruth.org. Also, don't forget that if you live in Savannah, Georgia, or if you have friends and family and loved ones in that area, or if you're visiting there for vacation, go to IPCSAV.org. IPC for Independent Presbyterian Church, SAV for Savannah.org. IPCSAV.org. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Johnson, for being my guest. I look forward to you returning to the program. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.